welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So, what are we going to do this morning? We keep being hijacked by the Holy Spirit and doing wherever the Holy Spirit takes us. I think he's actually allowing us to, you know, do the hashtag It's All Beyond Me series this morning. So, well, the others have kind of fitted in. You know, Kate's message last week was absolutely perfect for exactly where God has taken us to as we've been going through the book of Nehemiah. Because we've got to chapter 7, we're going into chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah, and there's a whole shift going on now in what's happening to God's people at that time. So if you want your Bibles open, please, that's where you want to be, and you can flick at different bits as we get there. But what happens at that point is the walls have been built. And we've really been, for the last, I think it was something like the 4th of October was the very first It's All Beyond Me message. It's around the beginning of October. And we haven't had a message about it every single Sunday. We're on about the number 16. So, but that initial message has all been about building the walls. Now, if you remember the very, I think it was about the first, maybe the second message. If you were here back in those days, in the olden days, you'll remember the king's forest. Do you remember that? It's in Nehemiah chapter 1, where Nehemiah has been commissioned by the pagan king to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem because he's interceded before him. And the king makes available to him all the resources of the king's forest. And that's where we began, really, looking at our king is King Jesus, and he makes available all the resources of his forest to enable us to do what he's called us to do. Okay? And as we've gone through that, we've come up with the many different quotes, such as, I am God's masterpiece. I am doing a good work. I am doing God's work. I am doing a great work. It is up there. And all the things that he's spoken to us, because understanding his word and taking on board his word and believing what he says about us is taking the resources from the king's forest. And they build a strong, and they build the wall strong. And so we discussed, and we've talked about, and some of you have studied about in life teams and things like that. That's the wall, by the way, if you're wondering. I've not turned into a ballerina. It's just what's going on in my head. And an unfortunate insight for all of you. But we have discussed building the wall, and the wall being God's word. Now, in Nehemiah's time, they were building the wall around Jerusalem because the temple was built under Ezra. And but it was vulnerable to the attack of the enemy because there was no wall. And this is why Nehemiah got distressed when he heard about it, and why he ends up going to do this impossible project, as it seemed, of rebuilding this wall. And when you get to Nehemiah 7, Nehemiah 8, the wall has actually miraculously been completed in a short number of months, whereas it had been derelict for years. It was an incredible miracle against great opposition. And we've, I hope, taken on board that wall we build of God's word can come, a terrible opposition can come against it. The enemy doesn't want God's presence in our community to be protected by the word. You say, well, how does that happen? It happens because the enemy comes in with lies, the enemy comes in with deception, our flesh craves stuff that's not of God. And if you know God's word, it protects you from wandering off into something that's going to harm you. Or disappearing off, as Kate preached some time ago, disappearing off down the valley of oh no. Okay, because you know the wall's there. The wall's not there to constrict you. The wall's there to protect us and to protect the presence of God, the temple in Nehemiah's time, in our middle. So what, in the middle of it. So what's changed as we go over? Well, the wall's built. And the community is coming together in Jerusalem to now be as strong as a community. Now, Kate last week, and this is why it was a perfect sort of changeover, talked about the walls. And she talked about how you can either fence the cattle in, the Texan model, big fences, I mean, they have big ranges, or you can use the Australian model and all wear corked hats. No, or you have a well where the cattle can come and get the water. So they can go anywhere they want, actually. But what brings the cattle together is the fact that they can draw on the water together. And this is exactly where we're at now. The wall is built around that well. It's the protection of the water, the protection of the presence. We want to protect the sanctity that is amongst us. We want to protect the presence of God that is amongst us. It's about being community. It's about being the family of God. Okay? It became sort of trendy to think in a reaction to over control, probably from the church, everybody focused on their individual walk with Jesus. And that's absolutely right. We all have to, you can only become a Christian by you yourself saying yes to Jesus. Somebody else can't do it for you. But when you are a Christian, there really isn't any such thing as a Christian who does it by themselves. That concept does not exist in the New Testament. It's just not there. And I understand people who have drifted away from church or deliberately left church because, boy, we can get things wrong. And we can hurt one another. You know, and it's very sad when we do. And, you know, forgive me if I've ever said anything that's caused you trouble. I probably have. That's what leaders do. It's why we have to bear with one another, as it says in the gospel. Put up with one another, it says in another place. You know, but it's about walking together. Your place, the metaphors used are that of being a body or that of being a family. And the well, the presence, is when we are gathering together. Now, this Sunday morning is obviously one of the very key times of the week because we gather, all of us, together. But other times are equally as important. Life teams, they're churches in the sense of people, God's people. There is no church building, really. It's a building which the church gathered in. And the life team, you know, Ron and Deborah lead a fabulous life team. They do a great job. Oh, that's not Deborah. That's Deborah. Just married you off again. don't do that, please. they do a fabulous, as do our other life team leaders. But really, they're like church pastors. They have a church that meets in their house. And this is a very biblical model. We have an overall model. And this building, it's not like it's the church that's used once a week. This building, praise God, is a community mission building, which all sorts of people use. It's literally open 7 days a week. I know the cafe's closed on a Monday, but the building itself is usually used on a Monday, even though we say it isn't, because just thing after thing. So it's Freedom in Christ at the moment, for example, or somebody just coming in and doing some repairs on the place because there's a moment's peace. But it's open 7 days a week. It's not just, oh, the trouble with church buildings is they're just there, used once or twice a week. No, spend some time hanging out here. You'll find it's full of people an awful lot. And that's brilliant. But that's why we invest in it. Who wants a building where the church, where only a group of people meet with Jesus? You know, we want a group of people. We want a building where people can meet with Jesus through all different means, all of the time. And that's what we aim to be by the grace of God. That's why God told us to be right in the center of Scarborough, a beacon, amen, right in the middle. That's, you know, that just gives out hope and light and love to those that come and take part of it. But fundamental to that, though, is these people that are coming are getting a taster of what it's like to be part of God's community, God's family. So where God is taking us now, I believe, in Nehemiah still, is a change in what we've been looking at. It doesn't take anything away from the establishment of God's word, because we need it, and we'll still be, obviously, looking at the word. But we're now looking at, okay, we know we're imperfect, although God has made us perfect. We know God has made us holy, but sometimes we're unholy. We know that we are walking as saints, but also we sin. How does this all work out for us together? You know, because there'll be people we like, and perhaps there's people you don't like. How do you cope with these things? How do you deal with these things in the context of God building us together as a community? And I should add, I've only mentioned life teams. I should add that it's not just life teams either. It's whenever people gather. That's church. Okay? Andrea. I'm always getting your name wrong. It's a mental block. But you have a group of people that meet at your house that study the word. All right? Most of them are new Christians or even weren't yet Christians. And that's an amazing thing to happen. She's not an official life team leader, but the people just gather. That's church. You know, and you can expect that will be tried to split apart because it's dangerous. That's what the kind of thing the enemy does. He doesn't like it when people are studying the word. He does not like it. Because it makes them grow in him. So that's what we're moving into. That's kind of the direction. It's about how we drink from the world together, whether it's in those Way of the Spirit Bible studies or another way, whether it's in life teams, whether it's just meeting up for a cup of coffee, whether it's we get together and pray, whether it's the all the different activities that life team gets up together, or whether it's here Sunday morning. I do believe Sunday mornings, and to a similar extent Thursday nights, are very important. God was showing us the other week how we are kings and we are priests. And we need to let God allow that truth to take hold in us. Every single person that comes and gathers is a minister, a priest, and a king, a person with authority. We don't come just to sit on a chair and receive, although by the grace of God we will, because that's drawing the water. I mean, if you come every Sunday and you never get anything from the word, you're missing richness. Have an expectation that God will speak to you, because God likes to speak to his people together as well as individuals. So we're coming together to draw upon the word together, to hear from God together, to seek where we're going together, because there's that community aspect which I think we as a church we often lose, especially as sort of the modern charismatic evangelical church. We all come with an individual mindset. And this is not a fence. Okay, there are no fences. Nobody's going to judge you because you go and do something else on a Sunday morning. You need to make your own decisions before God of what's right for you at that time. I'm just saying, this is really important. Life team's really important. You're not going to get thrown out if you don't go to one. Maybe you do other stuff. Maybe you're part of the worship team. You know what I mean? We all have a limited amount of time in a week when we can do these things. But sometimes we devalue the going to the pub with a few guys from church. That is church. It's not from church. You are the church going to the pub together. And you say, oh yes, we'll witness. You might not witness. You might not do anything. You might just talk and have a good time. That's good. We can just have a good time. We don't have to try and justify it spiritually. Let's go out and have a meal together. Well, we better invite a few non-Christians. Yeah, that's good too, but you can't just go and have a meal and have fun together. All right, we're here to have fun. We're here to enjoy the life that Christ has given us, also while laying down our lives serving him. Okay, he did say, I've come to give you life, life in all its fullness, and he did say, you must take up your cross daily. We have both. Okay, anyway, I need to get back to the word, because I'm not actually preaching anything that I'm supposed to be, I don't think. Now, we've read this bit before. Nehemiah 7 verse 4, the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it. And I believe that's a great word for us right now. The space we have, the space that God has made available to us, is huge and it's spacious. It's not just talking about this building. It's talking about us as a body, us as a people. And when we've got plenty of spare capacity here in this building, but it's not about the building, it's about us as a body. Because you're being raised up as leaders so that you can lead others, so that you can disciple others, so that you can lead others to Christ. All these things God is raising you up in, and will attempt by the grace of God to give you more skills and more available tools to help you in that as we go on. But that the fatter of fact is, compared to the size of the borough of Scarborough, which is roughly 120,000 people, a church of 150 people is quite small. All right, so there's plenty of space. Even when we add in the fact that there is only one church in Scarborough, regardless of our various labels, there's still not that many of us compared to the number of people that aren't yet in the position of discovering how amazing Jesus is. So the place is large and spacious, but there were few people in it. So this part about, it seems almost inward-looking and selfish-looking to talk about our community, but it isn't. It's part of what makes us available to receive people into it. Because God wants to send people into something that's happening. God wants people to come to something that will help them. I know that sounds almost, you know, too simple for words, but it is actually a reality. There's no point really God seeing somebody give their life to Jesus and they go to a church where they aren't friendly. Because it's not going to help them. You know, at a basic level, let's by the grace of God be friendly. and then go on from there. I know it does say love one another, but that actually means friendly, you know. But and then what happens is you get this long list of people, the people of the provinces who come up, and you get this long list of names of people that are becoming part of what's happening there in Jerusalem. And it says the whole company numbered 42,360 besides their 7,337 men servants and maid servants. They also had 245 men and women singers. There were 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys. It's very specific. But why the list of names? Not forget about donkeys for a moment. Why the list of names? Why the list of all the people? Because it's significant that this community that God was establishing had to be those people that knew their inheritance. All right, they were a chosen people. They knew who they were. They had to be people who knew their inheritance, which is why we've dwelt so much in the building of the walls upon who you are in Christ, what is available to you in Christ. It's important that we know our inheritance. It's important that we know we are in Christ. Otherwise, if we try and build community, we will fall down through exhaustion and trying to do it in our own strength, and we'll fail through our own lack of, I suppose, self-esteem. We feel we're not worthy enough to contact others. Why would anybody else want to know me? Nobody else is interested in what I've got to say. All those things are now protected and kept out of your life, aren't they? By the wall. You say, well, that's not true. I am precious. I am God's poem. That's I am God's masterpiece, poema. The word can mean poem. God is the poet of your life. You are a beautiful sonnet written by the Lord. Far, far beyond whatever Shakespeare could pen. He is the ultimate bard. So, the people all gather together, and immediately there's a practical need, which we have as well. So it says that some of the heads of the families contributed to the work. The governor gave the treasury 1,000 drachmas of gold, 50 bowls, 530 garments for priests. Ooh, jackets. Some heads of family gave to the treasury for work 20,000 drachmas. The rest, total given by the rest of the people, was 20,000 drachmas of gold, 2,000 miners of silver, and 67 garments for the priests. It's glad to know they've got enough clothes for the priests. And, you know, that's a practical response. We have our summit offering next month, June the 19th. In the middle of the month, we were supposed to have it in April, and I confessed to you not long ago, I forgot. But it's now June the 19th, and it's like this, really. It's like, right, we're giving in to what we're building together. It does take resources. But it's not the kind of resources that go into an edifice that's not used. This is constantly used to make Jesus known. And that's why we do it. So they do that, and then they get a moment's peace, and they come to this place where Ezra is back on the scene. He's probably been on the scene all the time, but Nehemiah now mentions him again. And they've gone from building this wall, and basically they get together, and Ezra brings the word. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law which Moses, the Lord, had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought up the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. That was one church service. From daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, the women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. And then it describes other important people who were standing beside him. And then there's this lovely, lovely simple sentence here. It just says, Ezra opened the book. If you want one thing to take away from this morning, that's a good one. Ezra opened the book. So often, people will come to one of the church leadership with issues and problems and things that don't seem to be in line with what God's word says. And often my question will be, well, what does God say about it? And they say, oh, I don't know, I'm asking you. why are you asking me when you've got Elohim, Jehovah, the great God, who you can personally ask? I know you think you can hear my voice clearly, but if you believe what Jesus said when he said, my sheep hear my voice, you can hear from God, you can have wisdom from God.
Right.
And really, when you see a leader, it's more about confirming what you think God is saying to you. I'm not saying don't come to me, of course I'm not saying, but I'm just saying please don't make me, please don't make Ron, please don't make Deborah, please don't make Joanne God, because we're going to let you down big time. All right, but God won't. And that way, you will have this very important thing of you are personally being a priest, a minister before God, so that you can be part of the community. Because I was saying earlier about when we come here on a Sunday, we're all ministers. Everybody comes with something. Look for the opportunity that God gives you to encourage someone else. In Hebrews it says, let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. They've probably got that mindset, I don't really need to meet with the other people. I know Jesus. I'll go down the beach. I can meet God in the waves. I can meet God in the sunshine. I can have a fantastic time and I know the presence of God. And that's absolutely true. But we are a community. So the writer to the Hebrews clearly puts, let's not give up meeting together, as some have been in the habit of doing, but let us, what do we do as priests? What do we do as kings? Encourage one another. Every one of us has a ministry of encouragement. Encourage, being positive into the lives of others. Looking for opportunities to be that minister. Because when you say something, and I'm not just saying, I think I've got the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, I don't know what this is, so it could be dodgy, but 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 for you this morning, brother.
Okay,
I just want to encourage you with that.
Great.
I don't know what it is, it'll be quite scary, you can look it up later. But it might not even exist. But I'm not talking about just that, it might just be something, you know, how are you doing, it's good to see you, can I get you a cup of coffee? Can I get you a chocolate milkshake? Can I get you a strawberry milkshake? You know, it's not about, let's not over-spiritualize it. It might be, do you fancy meeting up for a cup of coffee during the week? Shall we go out for a meal together? Do you fancy coming round Wednesday night for a board game? Whatever. Let's go bowling together. It's a ministry. It's ministry means serve. And that's not to make you feel, I can't take on board more responsibilities. Because that means you're taking it on board as self. This is something we're asking God to work in us so that it's a joy to do these things. Yeah? If you do feel like that, that's a very genuine response to somebody saying, we need to be community, we need to be more friendly, we need to, and you take on the need to, I've been saying, and you sort of walk out with another weight on your shoulders. If you're doing that, can you just carefully lift the weight back off your shoulders? Because we're talking about something that comes from within us. That is a response because of what God is doing, because together we're meeting at the well. So when we're drawing from the water at the well together, there comes a desire to be together. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to put extra, oh, we've got to try and be nice to each other on you. I hope we are. But, you know, it's not coming on as a weight. It's coming on as a, this is what God is going to do more and more within us. And also, the enemy will lie to you and say, well, but you don't know them, and you don't know them, and you don't know them. Can we just put that one to bed right now? You will have people you're really close to, and you will have people you barely know. You might have others you can't remember their name. And that's okay. It's all right. It doesn't mean they don't care. It doesn't mean they don't love you. If it's me, it means my mind with names is just horrendous. I have the famous story of when I introduced my wife and forgot her name. So if... And it's absolutely true. And this is my wife, and the name went. And I'm not talking about when we were just married. I'm talking we've been married years. It just went. Boom. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, Paul and. I know. It's incredible, isn't it? But that's I'm quite capable of that. It's amazing that I can string two words together and preach to you. It really is. Totally the grace of God. I do it all the time. People I know really, really well. And that's my common tactic. If they're married, I try and put an and in there. Joyce and Richard. And why is it that some people you know, Richard and Joyce, and then Joyce and Richard doesn't sound right. But then other people, you know them the other way around. And then you, so, you know, I don't know. Joanne and David. You're always in my head, Joanne and David. And if I say David and Joanne, it doesn't sound quite right. It's not about spiritual headship, it's just odd. Ezra. We're here. No, here. Ezra, open the book. Yes. Chapter 8, verse 5. Perhaps we should follow his example. The word opened in Hebrew means to break forth, to set free, to loose, to release, to be completely unguarded about, to make an opening. It's used in the Bible of opening up the windows of heaven to pour out the blessings of God. It's used in the Bible for a river flowing. And it's used in the, this is an interesting one compared to the others, it's used in the drawing of the sword. So when it says open your book, that's the title, I think, of our talk, open the book. It's all these things coming together. It's setting free the word of God in your life. So how do you set free the word of God in your life? You've got to read it. So you don't go to the pastor and say, what do you think about this? You go to Jesus and you say, well, open the book. Read the book. Find out what God is saying to you. I'm not just sort of, I'm not talking about sitting there and doing a Zen meditation, hoping to get some floaty thoughts. Read the book. Yeah. Read the book. Yeah. How do you read a book? You open it. And you look at the words. Okay? I mean, Ezra would have been reading a scroll, but they still call it's still book. Open the book. Unscroll the scroll. Let the river flow. Draw your sword. When the enemy comes against you and says you're a miserable good for nothing, you say, no. Because God's word says, I am his masterpiece. And he has called me to this position because he's planned in advance for the works to do. Now, I got Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 completely wrong there on purpose, because you don't have to get it exactly word for word and then the devil will flee from you. It says, submit to God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. All right, you don't have to get it word for word right, because you're not speaking Hebrew or Greek for a start. You're speaking English, which is a translation of what it was. Okay, so it doesn't have to be exactly word for word. It's good to learn scripture. It's good to learn it word for word so that you don't end up misquoting it. But when you are standing firm in prayer, say out aloud, you draw your sword, which is open the book, and you say what's there in your head, what's in the book, either. Just get it out there and cut through the lies and deception that will come against you, that will make you feel depressed, that will make you feel miserable, that will bring dis-ease into your life. You say, I'm not having that. That is not for me. The word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And you can do that sort of sh-ting noise that films always do. Sh-ting! Which is rubbish, because if it really did do that, the sword would be blunt. But anyway, it's a leather thingy, scabbard. So the sword's not blunt. You draw your sword, which is sharp, because you make sure it's sharp by reading the book, because you've opened the book. And you speak the word of God into that situation. And you say, this is what I'm standing on. Not what I feel like. Not what's going on in my head. It might be the enemy, it might be your head. If your head's like mine, some pretty odd things can go on in there. If I led my life by what goes on in my head, it would be disastrous. I have to stand on the word. Some of you are nodding enthusiastically. We should all be nodding enthusiastically. We've all got heads. Another great revelation, Sunday morning at Kingdom Faith, Yorkshire. Let's open the book. Let's read the word. Let's apply the word. And when the preacher's preaching on a Sunday morning, it was me today, it was Kate last week, it was Dave Thomas the other week, we hear the word, we take from it, and we're thinking, right, what in that is for me so that I can put it into place? We don't go, oh, I wish so-and-so was here, that would be really good for them. Who's ever done that? Oh, come on now. You must have heard a word and thought, oh, I wish so-and-so were here. That'd be really good for them. Because they're not, and the Holy Spirit knows it. So it must be it's good for you. Hallelujah. It's much better to think of the Lord's correction in the lives of others. We can avoid being corrected then. Nobody likes correction. We just like the results of it. So we open the book. All the people could see him because he was standing high above them, and he opened it, and the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. This is the essence of community. Word and spirit, or word and worship. The truth and the spirit. That is the very essence. That's what community has to be founded on. Not feelings, not desires, not modern philosophy. All those things come into it, but the actual foundation, the actual structure, the actual way to live it out is knowing the word. Open the book and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you try and live the book without the spirit, you're going to dry up. You're going to be miserable. You say, what, from the word? Yeah, you will, because it is completely impossible to live it unless you live it in the spirit. Not by your might, not by my power, not by your power, says the Lord, but by my spirit. It's the only way to do it. How do you get full of the spirit? Well, you're supposed to be continuously filled with the spirit. Yeah, you can. It's not just about getting someone to lay hands on you. It's using the word where it says be continually filled with the spirit. I can't make that happen. So God, please continually fill me with the Holy Spirit. Sure, there are specific times of anointing, specific times of impartation from the Holy Spirit, and we come together to draw on the well. What is in that well? The water. What is the water? It's representative of what is coming from God. It's the flowing river. What is opening the book? It is the flowing river. River of God's word and a river of the Spirit. I like open the book, don't you? But it's word and it's worship. How can we be the community that God wants us to be? Let's base it on the word and let's worship God. Let's open the book and let's be filled with the Spirit. And it says that they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving it the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. And still today, that's why we gather as the people of God. That's one of the important reasons we gather on Sunday mornings. This is a place where God will speak to you. It's not that you don't have an individual walk with God a week. You do. You are a priest. You are a king. But God ordained the assembly. The assembling of his people together to hear from people that he had set apart to bring the word. And it didn't change in the New Testament. You still had people like Paul, like Peter, who would bring the word of God to the congregation so that they could be fed by it. It says make it clear. It means what we do. It means to explain it. It means to go into what it means. It means to enable people to discern what it says. It means to perceive it. Because there's no point just reading out a load of Bible text and you think, I don't know what that meant. Now, when you're on your own, or even when you're together, really, I guess, you're saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me through this. And the Lord will. But then the Lord chooses to use men and women who teach you to also speak to you. Now, the ideal situation, the situation that we should be in, is that you are hearing from God, you're reading the Word, God's speaking to you, and then when you come on a Sunday, or perhaps a Thursday night, an assembly, the word that is preached confirms what God is saying to you. And that's when you get excited, because then you think, I'm hearing God. This is what God has been saying to me. And then, God may also give some development in what he's been saying to you. And you can take that away and go and test it and put it together with what God has been saying. That's how it's supposed to work, as we are a people who together are hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, because we are all priests and we are all kings. We can all minister, which means serve, and we all have authority in that service. So if we serve and we're using the word, it comes with God's authority. So they read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand, they could perceive. It literally means their eyes were opened to what was being read. And I'm going to finish with this, because here's, I think this is important too, that we get this. Something very significant happens here. So they've read the word. And one thing that's become obvious as they read the word is that their lives don't match up to it. Ever felt like that? And that they've not been doing this, and they should have been. And this is so important, what the response is here. Then Nehemiah the governor, this is after the reading of the book of the law, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God." Special day. This is a day that's been set aside. "Do not mourn or weep." Now hang on, they've just realized how much they fall short of the word. Shouldn't we be going into a time of confession and mourning and sackcloth and ashes and all that stuff? It's a sacred day. Sunday morning, it's a sacred time. It's a holy time. "Do not mourn or weep. For all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law," because they realized they just had not been living as God has wanted to. It's a very normal reaction. Sometimes people get worried about it. When you're in church at times, to just burst into tears, either at the preaching of the word or because at the presence of the Spirit, which is usually a combination of both going on at the same time, that's absolutely brilliant. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And this is what had been going on. But they're now being told, don't stay there. Don't keep mourning and weeping. And look at the remedy of what Nehemiah tells them to do next on this sacred day is beautiful. Because Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy food."
Amen. Yes.
Actually, it says go and enjoy choice food as well. No McDonald's. "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who've nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of your Lord is your strength." Then the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Don't grieve about it. Yes, we failed. So what are we going to do? Let's celebrate. Let's have a party. Let's have drinks. Let's have food." Verse 12. "Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them." Now, if you go to the next chapter, they do confess their sins. But Nehemiah and Ezra are making an important point that when God convicts you of sin, he doesn't leave you in misery. He releases you to joy. Yes. There is we have to, metanoia is the word for repentance. There is a change of mind. There is a change of direction. But God doesn't want the response that we go around, "I'm a sinner." He wants the response of, "Let's have a party. Let's celebrate what God has done. Let's have some drinks. Let's have great food and celebrate the fact that we now know what God wants us to do. We now know from this morning's word, just taking this word, there's been some revelation amongst us that God is doing something in our community to draw us all together as the community. Now, shall we mourn the fact that we've not been good at it, or that there's not been enough love, or there's not been this? No. The response is, so let's have a party. We know what God wants us to do. Let's celebrate. Let's have a drink together. Let's eat food together. Let's enjoy ourselves. It's true. You know, and that's why one of the reasons, I mean, Brian, I was wondering if he was going to hit the lights this morning. I know it's not food. He was here. That's why I'm standing here. What he was doing is, you know, why do we so often start a morning with those kind of songs? Because we're here to celebrate. We're here to have joy. We hear God's word and it's yes. It's a good word. Not, "Oh, a failure." It's a good word. So therefore, God will change me, and I will live up to that. Okay? I might take the time later to think about it in more detail and study what it is, but my response is not going to be misery. My response is joy. Do you know how long they had a party for? 7 days. They set up special booths and put branches on it. The Festival of Tabernacles, it's called now. And they just basically ate and partied for 7 days because they'd read God's word and realized they didn't match up to it. This is a good response. It's not an apathetic response. It's not an "I don't care" response. They absolutely cared. The celebration was in the fact that there'd been revelation of what God wanted to do amongst them. We need to celebrate that God convicts us of sin. Not feel miserable about it, because he convicts us not so that we feel failures and dirty and unpleasant and unworthy. He convicts us so that we can live not sinning, in righteousness. And in fact, to go around mournful and miserable because you're a sinner is more sin. So stop it. Ask God for forgiveness. Get washed in the blood of the Lamb, as we say. And it's gone. But your first response can be joy. I've had revelation. I've heard something from God. Let's have a party. So, an integral part of our community should be, Alex said it. He said it a little tentatively. He said it very quietly. Let's try it again. You don't really believe it, but there it is. An integral part of the community of God's people should be
partying.
Yeah, not getting drunk, not being stupid, not doing sinful stuff, but really celebrating, having joy, and having fun, because that's what we were created for. God doesn't send us out into the world to be the great example of misery. He sends us out in the world to be the great example of who He is. And He is love. And love is expressed in joy and happiness and peace and gentleness and faithfulness. All these good things. And how do you be happy? You do happy things. What do you like doing? Now, as everybody knows, it's become infamous. I know, board games. So I can do them to be happy. I don't let them take over my life. I don't let them replace God. If ever it came to you've got to choose between God and board games, the board games would all go in the dustbin. But God hasn't put that choice before me because it's not a necessary choice. You're just misguided, my son. All the people went away to eat and drink and to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. They had this enormous, amazing party. The people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs and in their courtyards and in the courts of the house of God. Really? And in the square by the water gate and one by the gate of Ephraim. And they lived in these booths. They had a camping party. It was an early version of Faith Camp. And that it didn't rain. The whole company had returned from exile, built booths and lived on them. And it says here, remember, this word had come and they'd been brought to conviction. It said they were mourning and they were grieving, and the priest said, stop, because you've had revelation and that's a cause for celebration. And this was the celebration from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, that's Moses, the guy that came after Moses, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day and the last, Ezra read from the book of the law. So they were partying, but they were still opening the book. Don't forget that bit. They celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. So they parted for 7 days, and then they come back again to hear from the word. And that's the next chapter. That might be next time. Who knows? We're following the Holy Spirit, but they came back to the word. So let's finish. What I want you to take away for today? Parties. Let's be a happy people. It's good to be fun. It's good to be happy. It's good to let Jesus out. We live the life in all its fullness, and we also pick up the cross. Because we rejoice, you see, in all circumstances. Even when the word convicts us, or even when we're miserable, and even when we're down, we come on a Sunday morning, even when things are not good, we can make the decision, I will celebrate in God, because I'm going to move up to His position. How do you come here when you've had really bad news, and you know that it's very likely that whoever's leading is going to choose a lively song to kick things off? Yeah, I don't feel like celebrating. You choose. It's not about being misleading, it's not being deceitful, it's saying, God's word is right. I really don't. I've celebrated God when I'm feeling like absolute bleh. But that's how things change. Amen. And if you can't do it and you can't make it, there's still no condemnation. I'm not trying to heap anything more on you. Well, I just don't feel like it and you're making me feel worse. I don't want to make you feel worse. It's fine. You can sit there. You can not come. That's totally your choice. I'm just saying that when we respond to God in this way, with celebration, a party in the Holy Spirit, celebration, that's when things change. That's when you get the revelation of God's word. And that's why we need the full expression from the partying drums. Why do we have lights? Because we're celebrating. It's how we celebrate in our culture. Why do we have all these musicians? Because it's part of partying and celebrating and, most importantly, enjoying God. We need that. We need the times of quiet, meditative worship. We need silent prayer. We need quiet prayer. We need to learn how to contemplate. We need to learn how to meditate on God's word, obviously. We need all of these things. It's not, oh, we don't do that. It's, how do I learn to take hold of feed upon? I was going to say gorge upon. Maybe it should be the whole smorgasbord of what God has for us. He didn't just give me blue cheese. There's a whole range of cheese and meats on the board ready for me to taste. And they're all different. And they're all, in this case, because cooked meats and cheese aren't particularly, in this case, they're all good for me. So be blessed and open the book. That's the word. Party, open the book, and live in the Spirit are the three things to take away. Open the book, which basically means the next two. Have a life based on the word, a life flowing in the Holy Spirit. Remember, it means draw the sword. It means flow like a river. It means to loose. It means to set free. All these things come with the opening of the book. If you want someone to stand with you in prayer as we come to a finish, because you want to stand on some word from the book together with somebody, and that's a good thing to do, come forward at the end. If you've never opened the book and said yes to Jesus, this morning is an absolutely fabulous time to do that. If you want to become a Christian this morning, I can tell you how. Maybe your heart's pounding away right now because you suddenly thought, oh, I thought I was going to get away with that. I didn't think he was going to ask people to become Christians. Well, I am. Because I don't want to miss the opportunity for you to have your life changed. It's time for the river to flow in you. It's time for you to be able to draw a sword. It's time for health to come to your body. It's time for finances to sort out in your life. It's time for you to party with God. It's time for you to pick up your cross and serve him as his disciple and pay the cost of that. It's all these things. If that's you, come forward and see me at the end and I'll tell you how to go on the next step. I'll give you some stuff to take home, some just little books, resources to help you going, because you're beginning the beginning of an adventure of knowing, of following, of having a relationship with Jesus and the opportunity to join a family, a community that is a loving, caring community. But if you want to stand on the word for healing or whatever it is, remember, come forward at the end and myself or one of the team on the front row here can stand with you to see your life match up with what it says in God's word. Because we are a people that open the book. Be blessed. Have a great week. Sorry for speaking so long. I hope it's been beneficial to you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.